ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your favorite time of week where you get to download the Crazy Sheet, pull out your favorite podcasting app, Spotify, Apple Play, Google Play, iHeartRadio, or wherever the hell you may listen to us, and you get to spend some time with me and Scotty talking about college football. That's right, it's the Crazy Sheet, and we're ready to rock and roll. I'm Mark, I'm here in the backyard in my college football podcasting studio, and Scotty, I think you're at home from looking at your background.
I am at home from Furniture Market, always nice to get back. That is a miserable 7 days minus the people that you get to hang out with, because I do enjoy pretty much everybody I work with. So other than that, it's a miserable time. I sleep terrible. I eat too much. I drink too much. It is a grind, and glad to be home. But going to be – I'll tell you what, last week – was such a fun week, though, Mark. I mean, we were in the space, and of course, everybody knows I do this, so everybody wants to know, well, what are you betting on? What are you betting on? What are you betting on? So there's no hiding. Like, I tell people, well, I got this, I got this, I got this, and I came out of the box like a madman. I mean, just madman.
Those fun
early games, those games, I crunched it. And I mean, like, I had somebody just flat tell me I had lost my damn mind taking Oklahoma State at Texas. They're like, you're crazy. And I was like, the line is not hard. Their defense is really good. Really all Texas can do is run the ball. I'm like, at least take the line. I was like, I'm taking the line and the money line. And the guy's just like, oh, you're a moron. You've lost your mind. You're crazy. You know, I can't believe you're taking it. And then that bad boy comes home and – and it was on. And fortunately, I think everybody that gambles in that showroom won money on the Texas A&M game. Because somebody was asking me, they're like, well, you're laying 9 points on the road. I'm like, do you know where they rank in run defense? I said, just pull up StatBox right now. And I want you to go look at what they're giving up per carry. And then tell me that A&M's not going to run a rough shot on these guys. I mean, I think everybody in that space was betting A&M broke. So it was a lot of fun. You know, it started. I got a little colder as the night. Candidly, I won a lot, but because we got a little busier in the afternoon, and then we had everybody over to the house to watch the State and the Ole Miss game at our house. So I didn't bet on any of the night games really. So it was I was pretty well done by night, which turned out great. I was a complete moron to not just put wood on Alabama. Mississippi State has now scored 16 points on those guys in 4 years. I mean, they are not remotely in the same ballpark with Alabama. And I was an idiot not to bet that game about five ways.
Yeah, I same as you. I mean, we play all of our plays. So those top eight, I was on them. We were rolling. We went 4-4. If you played with this, you know that. Came out hot, had a couple other plays, was good. Scott, I did something Friday night that I have not done in a long time. The last time I watched a football game as shitty as the San Diego State, San Jose State game, I was sitting next to you. It may have been one of the last games you and I watched. It was during Hurricane Ike, and it was the smooth Auburn defeated Mississippi State 3-2. And we watched that game in the dark with no air conditioner because a hurricane had come through. But I was just as miserable watching San Jose State, San Diego State. Those are the two worst offenses I've ever seen. When they got to the end of the game, they had to go to overtime, and Jason Taylor was commenting on the game, and I can't quote it verbatim because I was kind of drunk at this point, but he just said, I can't believe we're going to have to watch more of this. It's so bad. And it was just terrible. It was terrible. And, I mean, and San Diego State's offense, man, is so bad. Their defense is good. They can stop the run. This game against Air Force this week is going to be interesting. But offensively, they are so challenged. And San Jose State, they're playing – Starkle's hurt. And so the kid playing quarterback for them was a wide receiver for the first couple of weeks of the season. But the only thing that's redeemable about San Diego State and their defense is their punter kicker, same guy, is fantastic. And he sets the table for them. But, yeah, it's rough. A couple of weird things, man. Purdue, how about that big upset? Getting it done.
Downtown.
That was, yeah, fantastic. Man, I had no idea. So a buddy of mine, he kicked at Purdue, And he always gives me the inside scoop on the Purdue games. And he's looking at it from like 20 years of Big Ten history, right? And he's like, man, we always play Iowa close. We always play them close. And you're like, all right, all right. And I sprinkled a little bit on it, but not much. But David Bell, the receiver, that guy owns Iowa. I think he's got over 600 yards receiving against them in the three games he's played. I mean, that guy,
wow.
He had 240-some-odd yards receiving in that game and was just running wide open. And Iowa, when they lost their top cover corner, that defense had some big-time holes in it. And we kind of knew going into it that Iowa's offense is not good. It's challenged. And they were relying on the turnovers and the defense, and that's fun. But you're always going to see that regression that's going to come back to it. So we saw that. Oklahoma with Caleb Williams. That looks like the Oklahoma team we thought we were going to see at the beginning of the season. But there may be still a little fugazi in that defense because they gave up a ton of yards in that game, even though they covered pretty easily.
They did. How about Lane Kiffin? Just basically bringing up Spencer Rattler. I mean, how in the world is that not tampering? The dude's not in the portal yet. You can't be like, you know, we're going to go look for our quarterback in the portal. I mean, and he just brings Rattler up. But it is odd what's going on over there. I mean, it's just like, let's just go find the best dude we can get in the portal because clearly we don't think we got a quarterback next year. That was so interesting, but it's 50-50. He may not be in Oxford with everything that's going on. How about Eddie? Well, before we get to coaches, how about the Tennessee game and the way it ended? You talk about not wanting extra football because after the moron Tennessee fans start throwing everything under the sun on the field, which, as we discussed earlier, who the hell brings a golf ball to a football game? He clearly is thinking, well, I'm going to throw this at some point. Who the hell brings a golf ball to a game and thinks, this is a good idea. I need to throw this at one of the players or one of the coaches. I mean, how big of a moron are you? And then same thing for a mustard bottle. I mean, it's like, who's bringing mustard in the stadium? They don't have enough mustard relish for my dog. I gotta bring some French's in. I mean, what the hell's going on up there? So, look, Tennessee deserved to get fined a whole lot more than they did. That was embarrassing. Every school's capable of it. Be careful what you say about another fan base because, look, Ole Miss fans are pounding Tennessee. Do they forget that 2 years ago they did it in basketball against Tennessee? You know, so, I mean, any fan base is capable of it. You know, people get zeused up, especially for a night game. Something crazy like that happens. I want to say I think he was short. I'd have marked him short for everything they were all wound up about. That call, let me also say, same group of coaches from the Mississippi State Memphis. I mean, same group of referees from the Mississippi State Memphis game. How do you call Matt Corral down and he's holding the football standing up? Forward progress had stopped. They were trying to run a trick play. Tennessee just read it, snatched the ball out of his hands, and went and scored. And, I mean, how many times has Ole Miss faked that handoff and the quarterback stands back there and then throws a ball?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and they call forward progress done? This is the same crew that a dude kneels on the ground and downs it, and that ain't the end of the play. But a guy gets tackled standing up and fumbles standing up. Poor progress to stop. That might be the worst call that I've seen, and that says a lot about how bad that crew is. But for those of you that quit watching, because I think it was most of America, for the people that didn't listen or didn't watch when they came back, it is that last 50 seconds after they came back was phenomenal. About 10 seconds of clock, Ole Miss punts with 40-some-odd seconds, and Tennessee runs it back to midfield. They get a pass play, right? I mean, a run play, and the quarterback gets hurt. And then Milton, they have to bring Milton in, who hasn't played the entire game. His first play, he throws a strike down to like the 20-yard line. It's a first down. They clock it. They got two throws into the end zone. The first time, Milton barely incompletes. I mean, skids off of Tennessee's best wide receiver's hands, and it goes incomplete. And then what follows is possibly the dumbest play I've ever seen somebody make. There's 3 seconds left. They snap the football. It's clearly win it, throw it in the end zone, or you're going to lose. And he gets flushed. And instead of stopping and just tossing it or scrambling around and just throwing it in the end zone, he takes off running. And you're like, well, man, you got to try to score. Nah, he just steps out of bounds at the 10-yard line. Like, we'll get him next play. And I think everyone in the stands was as stunned as I was. And then he realizes what he did, and he's just, you know, got his, you know, his guts ripped out. It was brutal. I mean, brutal. But Tennessee almost came back and won that football game, even after all the hurling of everything in the field. And I candidly have to tell you, I'd have loved to have seen what would have happened in the fiasco that followed that after they'd thrown all those bottles, because you know they were going to rush the field.
Oh, yeah. They for sure were going to rush the field. It would have been a mess, especially if they had won the game. I mean, it would have been like the melee in the palace years ago in the basketball game, because it would have been a disaster down there at that point. A couple other things, Scotty. LSU, Ogeron, getting it done against Dan, just making Dan look like he had no idea of a game plan in that situation. Team did not look prepared for LSU. LSU ran the ball after we roasted them that they can't run the ball. And then after the game's over, they come out with the announcement that Ogeron and LSU have agreed to part ways. I was not surprised about that. Obviously, we've talked about that since the Auburn game. We've talked about the fact that we thought this was going to happen. Somebody asked me this week, they said, why would you fire him and let him stay through the end of the season? And here's my answer is, I don't think anybody that's an LSU fan, alum, donor, I don't think anybody dislikes Ed Ogeron. I mean, they love the guy. He got him a natty. They knew what he was when they got him, and he got it done. The benefit of firing him right now is zero. I mean, that roster is already ripped up with guys from injury and things of that nature. And so at least he gets to coach out the season, and I think he's going to get some kids to play for him that want to be there and get it done. He gets to walk out under his own terms. And the other reason I think they may have done this is, you remember when they wanted to fire Les Miles and how big of a mess it was because Les kept winning? And it was like every week he was going to lose and they were going to fire him, and then he would win again. And Les was going to win and they fired him, and it just kept going. And it got strung out and they ended up getting stuck with him. And so I think with O, I think they kind of looked at this and said, all right, let's not let history repeat itself. He won the game. Let's part ways as friends and figure out how we can do it. And it's going to be interesting to see who LSU hires, because I think that they obviously are going to be the top program looking for a coach at the end of the season. And they're going to have the opportunity to pretty much interview anybody they want to at this point. And so it's a big-time job. It's a great state for recruiting. I think it's a fantastic opportunity for anybody who wants it. And I am fully intrigued to see who's going to take this job.
I am fully intrigued by it. I will tell you, I think LSU is one of the best jobs in the world, just simply because of how much talent is right there in Louisiana, but then southern Mississippi. You know, look, there's a lot of the state of Mississippi that's closer to Baton Rouge than it is Oxford or Starkville.
Yeah.
Significantly closer. And, man, you're only just a few hours from Mobile. There is a boo-coodle of talent. And look, man, you're just a few hours from Houston. I mean, there is so much talent that they can get their hands on, and there's not another big school in Louisiana. Louisiana is one of the top, I think it's top six states generally for players in the NFL. It is phenomenal. That's a phenomenal job. And everyone talks about how the USC job's a better job. I think traditionally it probably is. But for people that think just going to USC and winning is going to be easy, man, I think you're mistaken. The cost of living for the assistant coaches, and I'm talking about your offensive line, your defense, your running back, you either end up with old guys or young guys, because guys with families really can't afford to live out there. And you're still only going to pay them $600,000, $700,000. I know State's offensive line coach at one point interviewed, and I think they were offering him, you know, it's like 50 more grand or 70 more grand than he was making at State. Well, they have 13.3% unemployment out there versus 5% in Mississippi. But the cost of living's not even close. He was living 10 minutes, 15 minutes from the coach's offices. He was going to have to live an hour away in L.A. Those aren't comparable. Those are things that I think make that job more harder than people realize. You know, it's just what is how expensive California is. So I don't think that job's any better than LSU. Now, I think it's, they get the right guy. They clearly can win. But I think it needs to be a guy who's an older coach, an older head coach, or you're going to have to take a risk on a really, really young guy. That really is my belief. But the interesting thing that I also want to bring up, how about Dan Mullen now?
Oh boy.
He's lost 6 of 8 against Power 5 football teams, 6 of 8, and his 2 wins are against Tennessee and Vanderbilt. That ain't going to get it done in the Swamp, baby. That may have been fine in Stark Vegas. That ain't going to get it done in Gainesville. No. That is an inch. When you talk about a guy who's going to look, he's gonna, you know he's going to fire the defense coordinator, and candidly, likely should, after what's gone on for the last year and a half down there. But I've said this before, Dan, if he wants to win a national championship, he's going to have to buckle down and learn to recruit better, humble himself and be a better recruit. That's the bottom line. Because Kirby and those guys are wiping the floor with him.
Oh, yeah. There's not a team in the state of Florida that's currently ranked. If that tells you the state of things in the state of Florida currently, it's interesting. The college football season, as always, is turning out to be interesting. We're kind of at that midway part of the season. We wait all year, and now we're here, and we're halfway into it. As we get into this board this week, I do not like this board a whole lot. There is not a lot of watchability on this board. If you've got something to do, you may want to take the time to do it, because there's not a lot of sex appeal on this one. I'm just going to let you know. But some of the teams, and you're going to kind of see us, you know, as we roll through these games that we've got for this week, it's interesting because you've got some teams here I think people have thrown in the garbage. I think there's a couple of teams on here that were underrated. One of them I think we picked out before the season started. And I think you're going to have to start looking for those golden nuggets out there, because it's getting harder and harder to find, you know, these lines that just I went down this thing Sunday night when I looked at the Circa openers, and there was only one game that jumped off the board at me, and that was it. And so it's getting a little bit tougher as we get further in the season, and we anticipate that, and we try to gear to it. But at the same time, scared money don't win, brother. So you got to get it out there and you got to play. Went 4-4 last week, Scotty. Moves us to 36-26-2. Are you ready to move forward this week?
Man, I am ready, buddy. You know it.
All right, let's get it going. First game we're going to go to on the rotation is game 357, Wake Forest and Army. This is an interesting spot right here. Wake Forest over under here is 52. Army is getting 3 at home. Wake scoring 38 points a game, giving up 21. They're 6-0 straight up, 2-3-1 against the number. Army scoring 31 points a game. They're giving up 20. They're 4-2 straight up. They're 3-3 against the number. This was the one game, Scott, when I looked at the board that jumped out at me. Wake laying 3 at Army. It's an early game. It's going to be a noon Eastern kickoff. Wake still plays with a lot of tempo. They get up and down the field. They're moving the ball well. This offense is so much better than it was just a couple of years ago. And Army, as always, is relatively limited in the sense that they just run the rock. They're averaging 300 yards a game rushing, which leads the country, best I can tell. But the rush defense at Wake is serviceable. They're giving up 175 yards a game. But this is a spot where if you look at Wake and they're 6-0, this is kind of uncharted territory for them. But Wake's playing good, man. I think they're starting to believe. Wake's got a legitimate chance to play and win the ACC. I like Wake here laying a small number at 3, because I could see this one being close, getting to it at the end, and I'm going to trust the Wake special teams to get it done. But I think Wake here covers this short line.
Yeah, I agree with it. Wake has played really, really well. And I think that is, you know, they're only 2-3-1 against the spread. But when you go back and you look at, you know, at who all they've beaten, that was a close game at Syracuse, close game against Louisville, who was kind of finding his stride. They buried Virginia. They buried Florida State. The thing I notice when I look at Wake is this is a team that's been in the fight. But you look at some of the schedules now, and they've already played four conference games coming into this slate. So you know who Wake really is. And I think that says a lot about this team. I think it's a team with Army that clearly can only do one thing. And I think Wake is just too explosive for these guys. I just don't think that Army's going to be able to keep up. I understand that, you know, they can get some long drives and things like that. But this is a defense that is pretty good. It's pretty good against the run. Not great, but pretty good. But the problem is they like to fling it around on offense. And when they do, they score. And Wake is an athletic team. I just think they've got too much for Army. Wake's a team that capitalizes a lot. They're plus 8 in the turnover department for the year. I just like this Wake team. I think they're gritty. You could kind of see them coming in the preseason research. And I like them here to get this short number at Army. I just think they've got too much.
Yeah, I agree with you. Army's coming off two losses at Wisconsin and at Ball State. Two teams that I think are, I mean, Ball State's a good MAC team. Wisconsin is average at best in the Big Ten this year. And so I think Wake comes in here. I think Wake wins this one pretty handily. I could see a 7-10 point win in this one. I like Wake. Stay in the ACC, Scotty. Let's go to game 355-356. NC State traveling down to Coral Gables to play Miami. Over-under, here's 51.5. Miami getting 3 at home. NC State scoring 32 points a game. They're giving up 14. They're 5-1 straight up, 4-2 against the number. Miami scoring 32 points a game. They're giving up 30. They're 2-4 straight up, and they're 2-4 against the number. We were on the opposite side of Miami last week as we took North Carolina, and damn, I thought we had that game. But NC State comes in here. This is a team that you and I were high on coming into the season. We've got a big ticket on them to go over 7.5 wins. I've got a flyer on this team to actually win the ACC. They're moving the ball well, but defensively, this team is stout. And that's what I like about this NC State squad. Miami's playing better now that Derek King's out. They've changed quarterbacks, but it's a short number. And I don't care what you say, even though Miami hasn't been relevant in the last couple of years, they've been better, but they haven't been a powerhouse nationally. Anytime somebody plays Miami, Miami's going to get their best shot. NC State's a team here that nobody is still paying attention to. Nationally, no one is talking about NC State. That loss that they had at Mississippi State early in the season is kind of hanging around, but they've beaten Clemson. They've beaten the teams that they need to. They're coming out. They're playing hard. They're covering. I like NC State to go on the road, beat Miami. NC State's going to be favored in every game they play the rest of the season, and I think they've got a chance to win them all. I like NC State to cover a short number on the road.
Yeah, the Wolfpack's playing well in conference, 5-1 against the spread the last six. One thing I hate, they have not done well as a road favorite. But I also think that most of the places they go as a road favorite are intimidating, tough places to play. The Clemsons, the Notre Dames, those games against North Carolina are zeused up when they play there. Miami is not a home field environment. It's certainly not right now, because this team just is not playing well. I think it's probably pretty clear Manny Diaz is probably going to be gone at the end of this year, even though he's had a lot of difficulties. I'm not positive that I would make a switch quite yet, but I think they're going to. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I just think NC State's the better team. You got a Miami team that honestly still playing hard. They swung for the fence last week against North Carolina. I just don't think they're good enough. I think there's a lot of – we're taking two favorites on the road, and I just think they're both better football teams. And at the end of the day, that's what you've still got to look at. Who's the better football team here? And neither one of these atmospheres is a great atmosphere to go into on the road.
Yeah, I think they both are going to cover these easy. I like NC State here. I think they got a lot of momentum. I look for them to parse out the rest of the season. Like I said, I think this team's got a – I think the two teams we just talked about both have a chance to win the ACC. So I'm excited for this one. Scotty, let's move over to another team I think's kind of been getting overlooked to maybe a team that got too much hype. Let's go up to Iowa. Oklahoma State, Iowa State playing this weekend. This game's 383 on your sheet. Over-under here is 47. Iowa State is laying 7 at home. Oklahoma State scoring 26 points a game, giving up 19. They're 6-0 straight up, 4-2 against the number. Iowa State scoring 33 points a game, giving up 16. They're 4-2 straight up, 3-3 against the number. Scotty, what are we going to get in this Big 12 game?
Man, I like – look, you know, I was just telling you how much I like Oklahoma State. I think they're a good football team. I think they are absolutely 100% being overlooked because their offense in an explosive league is not explosive. And I think that's a I think that is unusual for a Gundy team, that people expect them to play offense because he's obviously a former quarterback. But I think this defense just makes it happen. It made it happen last week. Look, they were in danger when they got that pick six of getting gas canned.
Yeah, that was a game changer. Game changer.
Game changer. Total game changer. I mean, they were not far from getting run out of the gym. And this defense always makes plays. And I tell you what I think is impressive is what they do at halftime as adjustments on the other team. This team has not allowed a point in two games. I think it gave up seven last week in Austin. They are playing really good. They went to Boise and didn't give up a point on the road in the second half. They go to College Station, Austin, and give up 7 points on the road. Man, that's impressive. I think this team's better than people think, and I think Iowa State is getting too much preseason love. I mean, that's the bottom line. I do think it's Brocktober. We got to watch out. You know, this is when they kind of find their stride. But man, there's a couple of things that I love about this team. They're the underdogs 5-1 against the spread in the last six meetings of this. So I like that a lot. But look, the Cowboys are hot right now. They're 4-0 against the spread their last four. They're 4-0 against the spread their last four road games. They're 7-1 against the spread as their last eight games as a road underdog. I mean, look, that's a lot of good things. And it's just the stat sheet. Just they keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. They're 35-16-1 against the spread their last 52 October games. So, I mean, those are all big numbers, things you can count on. I think this is a close ball game. I think Iowa State very likely gives them their first loss of the year, but I don't think it's by more than a touchdown. I'll take the points and I'll ride it. But I will play the money line again. These dudes have been figuring out how to get it done.
Yeah, I agree with you in the sense that I think Iowa State's going to win this one. Covering 7's a big number. I mean, the back door will be wide open. You're getting a full score in that one. That's where I like Oklahoma State. And I agree with you. The second half, and I noticed it in the Boise game. It was the first game because we were on the wrong side of that one. And I really thought Boise was going to put it to them. And they went up there in the second half. They took care of business. And they've proven all season long that that's what they can do. They make those second-half adjustments. Gundy knows what he has on offense. He knows the offense isn't as explosive as it usually is for him. But that defensive unit's been fantastic. It was good last year. It's improved this year. Let's take the Cowpokes to get it done. Plus 7 on the road. We got three road teams we're playing with right now. Speaking of three road teams, let's go to game 395, Scotty. This one is fantastic. LSU at Ole Miss, over under 76. Ole Miss is laying 9.5. LSU scoring 32 points a game, giving up 28. They're 4-3 straight up, 3-4 against the number. Ole Miss is scoring 44 points a game, giving up 30. 5-1 straight up, 4-2 against the number. A couple things on this. Number one, Ole Miss offensively is exactly what we thought they were going to be. They're very explosive. Defensively, this team is not nearly as good defensively as I thought they were going to be. LSU has been all over the map in this one. Last week, they ran the ball well. Normally, they're having to throw the ball. I'm hearing murmurings that Matt Corral may not be 100% healthy, but this is an important game for Ole Miss. I mean, they still have a chance to win the SEC West if things were to fall right. LSU, on the flip side, is losing their coach. They know it. They're going to be in the locker room. I think this team's going to come in this week. The guys that are out there that want to play, I think they're going to play loose. I think they're going to have fun with it. I look for LSU to kind of open things up a little bit and go from there. You got nothing to lose at this point. I mean, coach is gone. All those guys are going to be looking for jobs. I think your mentality just eases. Now they're not having to worry about, am I going to get fired at the end of the season? You know. And so you can kind of go into it with a little bit different mentality. I think the players will play loose. I think getting that win against Florida is going to be helpful. It's gross. It's ugly. I'm taking LSU plus 9.5.
I like LSU here just simply because I have watched both of these teams when they had no business being on the field with the other team. score like nobody's business and it be a fun barn burner game. And I will tell you, I don't think I would necessarily be scared of a little over action in this game either.
76.
It's a huge number again, but I like the line more than I like spread. But I have seen these teams just go at it. But the underdog is 15-6 their last 21 games against the spread. Hey, look, man, that's a good number. You go 15-6 every week, baby, and you're gonna make some cash. Yeah. So that is. So at the end of the day, I like the numbers when it comes to that. I just think this LSU team is still talented on offense, but they're going to let it all loose. That Ole Miss defense has still got a lot of holes. If Corral is not healthy, and that allows them to focus more on the run game, because everything Ole Miss does is about that run game and the quarterback running the football and throwing off those run fakes. If he's not healthy and they can zone in on some more things, I think that is bad for Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss is going to win this game. I just don't think they're going to win it by 9.5.
Yeah, Mingo is still out. Braylon Brown is still out. Those are big outs. I think Braylon Sanders is going to come back for this one. It's kind of what I've heard, the wide receiver. But the explosiveness on this offense has been a little bit off with those big-time receivers out. Ely's back, the running back. So I do think they will put up some points. I agree with you, but I think LSU is going to be able to hang around in this one. I mean, they got to beat them by two scores. Plenty of backdoor room on this one. I like it. Scotty, let's stay in the SEC. Let's get back home. Let's get back to the game we need to. Let's talk about the third weekend in October. Bama at home, laying 25.5 against Tennessee. This is game 388 on your rotation sheet. Over-under here, 67. Tennessee scoring 40 points a game, giving up 23. 4-3 straight up, 3-4 against the number. Bama scoring 45, giving up 20. 6-1 straight up, 4-3 against the number. Tennessee, man, they are way better than I thought they were going to be coming into the season. I thought this team was way going better. To be a disaster. I have been fully impressed with what Josh Heupel's been able to do. He's gotten those guys to buy in. I mean, hell, he started the season with Joe Milton playing quarterback, He may be playing again this weekend. But this team is so much better than I thought it was going to be. And if you're a Tennessee fan, you know, take your golf ball and your mustard to the fucking house, man, and realize that this team, you might have actually gotten a good hire in this coach and see if he can get it done and just get behind him and stop being a dumbass. But this is a gigantic rivalry, one of the oldest rivalries in the SEC. If you don't know much about it, whoever wins gets to smoke a cigar in the, you know, start smoking cigars in the locker room after the game. Alabama has owned this series with Nick Saban, regardless of who Tennessee rolled out there. They're laying 25. There's rumors that Hendon Hooker may not be 100%. If you have to go with Joe Milton to start your game at Tennessee, that guy is inaccurate, as inaccurate gets as far as quarterbacks go. Let's go Bama first half, man. It was good to us for a long time. Let's get back on the train.
Yeah, I think that is definitely the way to go, but I think they just got too much for them in this ball game. Bama gets after it at home. They really do kind of just take care of business, settle in, and then get ready to go to the next week. I think the quarterback status is the big deal in this ball game. I just think they're going to blitzkrieg Tennessee early. I think this offense is going to be limited with a quarterback who's injured, even if he plays. And I simply don't think Milton can get it done if he's got to play. So, especially after watching what we saw last week, I think Alabama gas cans these guys. I think the full line number may be in trouble just because I think you could maybe get a backdoor from Tennessee here because, you know, Bama's going to get their business done and they're going to kind of move on and get ready to play. Still got some big games left for those guys. And it's going to be, I think, a very much a business-like approach. But I think they take it to these guys. A young quarterback is coming back home into friendly environment, and I think he plays well. He played well last week, and Starkle did really well against the blitz when the Bulldogs blitzed him.
Yeah, he did.
He had an outstanding ball game when State tried to pressure him. So I think, again, he's coming into his own. I said this before. I don't think he's why they lost in College Station. They didn't make catches that they've been making for the last few years. I think he's settling in and knows we got to get Mechie the football more. I think that's exactly what he's doing, and they're leaning on that run game. And I think Tennessee just does not have the horses. I think they blow them out early, although I was praying this number was going to be 13.5. And, of course, Vegas is like, nah, why would we give you a little less than half of, I mean, just a touch more than half? We're going to go ahead and make it where you got to have more than two TDs to win, baby. They knew what was coming.
It's so funny that you say that, because you and I've been doing this for a while now, and you kind of start figuring out trends. And you know, the first trend you and I ever started betting was first half unders on Thursday nights. And it was good to us for a long time. And it's still good. I still sprinkle some out every Thursday, just about. And then we found the Bama first half cover. And I swear, we're not a big podcast. I know how many people download the show, but we were on that Bama first half for about a season and a half. And it was just like free money. And then you don't even have to watch the second half. And then you start seeing, you could almost come back on the second half under once Saban starts shutting it down. But then they started jacking the lineup. And so you and I started going with first half total overs. And I can remember sitting on like a 35.5, a 36, some numbers like, and they were still getting home. And so, yes, you're going to pay a premium anytime you want to bet Bama, especially if you want to play them in the first half. Saban knows you get out in front of a team, you get on a team, and a lot of teams just start shutting down, man. They start quitting. And he knows that. And so he likes to play from ahead. And I don't blame him. It's worked for him. Obviously, with 7 natties, why would you try anything different? But let's roll it. Bama minus 15. If you can get a 15 today, I'd go get it, because I will be shocked if that line does not move up to 16.5 before game time. Scotty, let's go to Mac play of the week. We're so close to Maction being the middle of the week. We're going to figure out how to podcast all that stuff. Miami, Ohio, traveling to Testicle Tech. Over-under here is 52. Ball State's laying 5. Miami scoring 20 points a game, giving up 25. They're 2-4 straight up, 2-4 against the number. Ball State scoring 25, giving up 28. They're 4-3 straight up, 3-4 against the number. Scotty, it's Maction. Talk to me about it.
We're going to ride that Testicle Tech train again. We keep forgetting, and they've got basically everybody back. This is the team that won the league last year, and they're finally playing like it. Kind of laid that egg against Toledo early in the season. Then we bet against them based on that ball game, and they pound Army. And then they've pounded a couple of MAC teams again back-to-back weeks. I just think Ball State's finding their edge. Miami of Ohio is a good defense, though. They're gonna fight them for this. I just think Ball State's too good, too experienced. I think they get it done at home, laying the 5 against Miami of Ohio.
I like it. MAC play of the week, Testicle Tech laying 5 against Miami of Ohio. Scotty, last game, game 373. Let's go a little Pac-12, not quite after dark. Utah on the road at Oregon State. Over-under here is 56.5. Oregon State getting 3. This is game 373 on your rotation sheet. Utah scoring 31 points a game, giving up 22, 4-2 straight up, 2-4 against the number. Oregon State scoring 34 points a game, giving up 23. They're 4-2 straight up, 4-2 against the number. So this is an interesting game to me. First off, you got to realize we were high on Utah coming in. We've got tickets on these guys to win the Pac-12. We were high on Charlie Brewer, the quarterback transferring in. That experiment did not work. After 3 or 4 games, he got yanked, and he actually left the team. They brought in a new quarterback. Kids really opened up the offense for him. They're playing hard. They're moving the ball a lot better than they were to start the season. Oregon State, a team no one wants to back. We've talked about them on this podcast a couple of times. They're scoring 34 points a game. You cannot discredit what Oregon State is doing up there. I do think this team's got a great chance to be bowl eligible and start turning the corner in this spot. But I like Utah here, laying a short number on the road at Oregon State. I don't think Corvallis is going to be that difficult of an environment for these guys to go into. Utah's 3-0 since they've got a new quarterback. They're 3-0 in the Pac-12. I think they keep this thing rolling. I like Utah covering on the road, laying the 3.
Yeah, it's an interesting they were so bad and have now gotten, you know, what are 3 good wins. And look, they took it to Arizona State last week.
Yes, they did.
I mean, and pounded them. And I think that is a sign that, hey, they're starting to figure it out on offense, because they were so bad on offense against BYU and early in the season. And now it's like, hey, we figured it out. We know who our playmakers are. We know how to try to get them the ball. Let's go make something happen. And it does seem like Utah's finally finding their stride. And look, I still don't think anybody in the Pac-12 is a better coach than Whittingham. I think he's still a good, hard-nosed football coach. I'm with you. I still think the Beavers are a little bit of fool's gold. I don't think the Pac-12 is very good. I'll take what I think and thought going into the season was likely the best team in this league to go on the road and win. If you would have said, Mark, preseason, hey, man, you realize you're only going to have to lay 3 on that line at Oregon State?
I would have bet it
what
early.
You would have, oh, blind. We'd have bet it blind. Now, they're one is not as good as I thought they were going to be. The other one is better, but again, I also wonder, is that more about the ineptitude of the Pac-12, or is it more about Oregon State? I think Utah's going to go up there and give us an answer, and I think we like the answer we get.
I agree with you, Scott. That's the board. We got 8 games this week. Rapid fire. Let's roll a couple through. UCLA at home against Oregon, 2:30 in the afternoon. I like UCLA in this one. I think this is a big game for Chip, getting a chance to win against his team that he became famous coaching. The Oregon team with Anthony Brown playing quarterback, I'm still not 100% sure what you're going to get. I think this is going to be a great game. I like UCLA laying a small number in this one.
Man, you know what I hate about this game? I hate that Joe Moorhead had to have surgery and all of that. And, you know, hope Coach Moorhead's doing better. Super nice guy. If he's back, they're a better football team with him. I don't think they lose to Stanford if he's not out in that ball game. I'll be candid with you. And this game would be so much fun if they were undefeated. You imagine an undefeated top 5 Oregon team rolling into UCLA, play their old head coach. Yeah. I mean, this would be a great storyline. So it doesn't have quite the pizzazz it does, but I think both these teams are going to get after it. I'm with you. I think UCLA is going to get this done. This is going to be a great game for me. I'm still holding an Oregon on an outside chance to win the Natty. And when they won at Ohio State, I was like, yeah, baby, I got a chance. And then Moorhead missed 3 games and Stanford ruins it for me. So I still got a little bit of love for Oregon. Maybe they can pull it out, but I think Chip Kelly gets it done.
Interesting game. How do you handicap BYU after getting thumped pretty solid at Baylor and being made to look a little fugazi in that one, having to travel to Wazoo, laying 4.5 on a Washington State team that's actually turned the corner a little bit, but oh, by the way, their head coach and 4 other coaches on that coaching staff are no longer on that coaching staff because they wouldn't take COVID shots. I mean, how do you handicap this game?
And touch the game with a 10-foot pole, but I was going to love as I went into it. So, I mean, how in the world do you bet it now? And, wow. I mean, all you can say about that is, wow. That is just crazy.
Oh, that one's interesting.
There's another game I really like, and yep, and I know you're going to get to Purdue. Let's do that next.
Purdue, Wisconsin, at home. Purdue coming off of that giant upset win, getting 3 points against a Wisconsin team that you want to talk about can't do much. I mean, all they can do is run the ball. On the flip side, all Purdue can do is fling the rock. I love Jim Leonard, the defensive coordinator at Wisconsin, but this Wisconsin team just has not performed this season. They're giving up 6.1 yards per attempt. I like Purdue here, but I don't want to play this game just because I don't know what you're going to get off of this Purdue team because we haven't seen I don't have it in front of me, but if anybody knows that what Purdue did after they played Ohio State a couple of years ago, I can go look it up to see what kind of hangover they had when they won that one.
I'm pretty sure they lost. I will look it up, but I'm pretty sure they did.
But I think that's an interesting Big Ten game that you can look at as well. I'll go look
it up. Yeah, I'm with you. I like it. The thing about it for me is we'll find out is what kind of good teams don't take a step back after a road win, especially they're coming home and I think they get a chance. You know, this is a chance for them to really play well and put it on them. But I don't know that Purdue is a good team yet. And, they got one player who dominates Iowa and has, over the years. And I don't know what we're going to get, but boy, is there a more disappointing team than Wisconsin in the Big Ten. I mean, we really thought those guys were going to be a good football team. and they have just not been there. So I agree. I think at home, I think Purdue has really got a chance right here. I think that, you know, I think that gives them a, you know, a big opportunity. And in 2018, Mark, when they won 49-20 against Ohio State, they turned around and lost on the road at Michigan State. The difference being there, those were road and home. This time they're coming off the road and going home. So I still think you can get an opportunity, but we do find out what kind of team they are.
What you got next?
I like UTSA -6.5 at La Tech. La Tech, I had a little bit of love for La Tech. I thought, hey, because we have been on UTEP, as anybody that has listened to this UTSA. All season. No, on UTEP.
Oh, yeah.
For the first week. And I thought, ah, La Tech may go out there and they may give them a little bit. I mean, got drug. I mean, drug up and down the desert of West Texas. And here comes UTSA rolling in, who we thought, again, may be the best team in this league. And here they are, probably the best team in the league. So I like UTSA laying the 6.5 at La Tech. That's bottom line.
Notre Dame, SC. You got any love on that one?
No, but I know, I don't, just because I think both these teams are a dumpster fire. But you are right. I do think the inferno is burning a little hotter in LA than it is in South Bend. This is a little bit bigger number than I'd like to see, but I got nothing on. I got no read on USC. They're a mess.
Two best quarterbacks to play each other, Carson Strong and Jake Haener. 7 o'clock game. Nevada traveling to Fresno State. This is the best game on the board, as far as I'm concerned.
It's going to be one of the most fun games to watch, and nobody's going to watch it because they're going to be playing at 11 o'clock Eastern.
No. It's a 7 o'clock kick. It's a 6 o'clock game.
I thought it was my bad. Just where it was on the schedule, I thought it was later. Well, that's good. It needs to be on because people need to watch both these teams. They're fun, and this will be a good game to watch. I'm guessing if it's that early, it's got to be CBS Sports Network.
I would guess so. I haven't looked yet. Yeah. But I like that game.
But that is going to be a fun game to watch. So, I can't wait to get a hold of that. So, some interesting – I'm like you. There's a lot of games I'm looking forward to seeing. I do not love this board.
No. Like, how the fuck is Cal laying 9 points against Colorado?
Yeah, right?
but I don't want to bet it either. It's like, ugh.
A one-loss team laying 9 points. I mean, a one-win team and 9 points. I mean, you're like, there are so many stinky things on this board. And, so it's just the one game we don't have that I probably am going to get on Saturday and probably the last thing we'll talk about. I got a little bit of love for Ohio State. I think they're finding their way. And Olave is the best player on pretty much the field against anybody he's going to play. That dude's a stud. And I think they're figuring out how to get him the football. I think they may beat Indiana by more than 21.
I can get down with that one. I may take a flyer on Florida State if I can get it at 35 instead of 35.5 to beat UMass. That's a big number. I don't know that I've ever laid a number this big. But UMass is a team that you can get right against. Florida State, I was listening to Bud Elliott this week. Since they've got the offensive lineman back, this team's been playing. They've won two games in a row. They're averaging 34 points a game. They're still giving up points to Syracuse and North Carolina. But I don't see UMass being a team that's going to be able to expose Florida State's defense. So that's an interesting one. Memphis UCF is interesting. But, again, I've got no hard opinion on that one way or the other. If you want to watch a really gross game and take the money line on it, take UNLV at home +4 against San Jose State, because I think Nick Starkle is still out in this game. Yeah, he is still out in this game. And so I would play UNLV in this spot, but, man, it's going to be tough to watch. It's a Thursday night.
UNLV's been a cover machine.
Yeah, they have.
A cover machine for everybody that has not been paying attention. I think they've lost, what, once against the spread?
They're 4-2.
I think they're 5-1.
4-2.
4-2 against the spread.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've been really good against the spread, against some pretty good teams, too. So, that is an interesting line. And then last game, I think this number's gotten a little too big. Cincy -27.5 at Navy. they've got to beat the brakes off of everybody they play.
Yeah.
So they got to go win, and they got to go win big. And they've also got a guy that I'm sure has got some hope for winning the Heisman, and he's got to go hang up big numbers. It does make a difference. And anybody that thinks these coaches don't know these lines is officially lost their mind. If you hadn't seen some of these guys try to score late, knowing it doesn't matter except for the point spread. And then Thursday night, I may sneak in a little action on Ooh La La, laying 18 at Arkansas State. I just hate doing that many points on the road on Thursday night. It just scares me. But Arkansas State sucks. I mean, their defense is awful. I mean, it is ungood. So,
yeah, I would agree with you on that one. Scotty, what's your favorite play on the board you got this week?
You know, I bounced around kind of all over on what I think, but I'm going with Wake laying 3 at Army.
Wake laying 3 at Army. I'm going to go NC State at Miami laying 3. So,
wow.
I like it. I'm getting it done. Scott, I think I looked at it. I'm going to play it when we get off the podcast. The over-under in the first half of the Arkansas State Ooh La La game is 35.5. That's 6 scores, brother. That is an auto under for me. That line moved since we started recording. It was at 34.5. It was at a solid 35, but 35.5, you're getting the hook. I will be on the under in that game in the first half.
Hey, you're a brave man with that defense, Mark. You're a brave man.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. But if I lose that, if it's 42 or 38-0 at the end of the first half, I'll take it. But otherwise, that game is gross as gross gets. All right, y'all, thank you for the downloads. Give us some ratings. Hit us up on Twitter. We love hearing from you, like getting the feedback. There's more listeners every week for the show, so we appreciate you sharing us with your friends. Trying to help everybody win a few bucks. We've been at this 4-4 for the last couple of weeks, Scotty. Let's have a winning week, and we'll talk to y'all next week.